You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are joined again by Lori Bean to continue our conversation, sort of, from last week's episode about the messy middle. And by continue it, I really mean dive down onto a specific topic, and that is observer fatigue, which is definitely something that comes up in the messy middle. So we're going to talk about that specific aspect more today. If you didn't hear the last podcast on the messy middle, check that out first, because there's a lot of stuff that we talked about that I think will help give greater context to the totality of what's happening at that time. It's not just about observer fatigue or about being a better observer or that you suck as an observer or anything like that, but this is a real thing. So welcome back, Lori. We're glad to have you because you got lots of experience with observing lots of people in your family. You've experienced this, right? Jody, I know you have too. And so I'm hoping that, and I've experienced it for myself as well. So let's talk through. First, let's start with what we were even talking about as an observer, right? So when we say observer, for those of you who haven't seen it, we have a Being a Better Observer series to help people be a really effective observer for homeopathy. It's on our YouTube channel. We'll put a link to it. There's a playlist for it. Really short videos that are organized by systems to help people like really see the types of things that we're looking for in homeopathic remedies. So here's the thing, like when you are doing homeopathy, you don't have to figure out all the things that are happening with your kiddo, right? But you do have to observe what's happening so you can share it with your provider. And some people go all in, and I think those people get to fatigue faster. And some people, I see some, all right. So basically like you're having to keep notes and track what's happening so you can report like what's happening, if there's aggravations, how people are responding, like how your kids are responding to remedies, how you are responding to remedies, symptoms that are coming up and details about symptoms. This can become a really nasty beast for some people. So let's first, before we start talking about fatigue, let's maybe talk about ways that people observe and strategies and tools that have helped you guys in your observing before we get into the point of fatigue. So maybe we can also even tease apart maybe some of the things that can contribute to fatigue when you're first getting started. So who would like to start about how you have practiced observations and reporting?
Interestingly enough, I think, Jody, we do it a little differently too. So this is probably good. It took me, oh goodness, maybe even a couple months of trial and error of figuring out what best worked for me. That's always one of the big questions in the group is, you know, what do you use to track symptoms? And really, I think the overarching answer is whatever you can do that works for you, that's consistent, that allows you to be consistent. For me, I'm a spreadsheet person, you know, I needed to follow too. And so it made most sense for me to organize and categorize on the left. I made this thing for Poppy and I had little boxes and I tweaked it again and again and again until it worked for me. The other thing I had to keep tweaking was, like you said, you can end up writing paragraphs. But really, first of all, the follow-ups are 30 minutes. So there's no way paragraphs are going to help you. You need to, you know, see those trends over time. And I'm sure we'll get on that. And so I learned to note only when there was something to note. That was my strategy, was I'm not going to write anything if it's good. I mean, if it's super good and I wanted to put hearts and stars, I can. But I didn't have to spend a lot of time on that. I really just wanted to mark when I'm seeing a symptom. So that's how I made it, like, shorthanded it.
I think that we are very, very different, Lori, very different. And I think I might have gotten to fatigue quicker because I was trying to fit myself in a box I didn't belong in. I tried so many different things to track symptoms and response. And I had a spiral notebook and that didn't work out. So I'm going to get a smaller notebook that I can put in my purse, and that didn't work out. And then I God, I get this, like, get online and print out this symptom checklist or checklist thing, and that didn't work out either because it didn't quite fit what was going on with Avery. So then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get on and create my own. And I spent like all the time creating the thing, and it just didn't end up working out. And I was trying to do all of these things to get all the details. My ADD mind is very all over the place. And I was trying to not do, th or I was trying to do things in a way that my brain doesn't work. I need very short, very concise, very like everything with homeopathy as minimal as possible. And that's the only way. And I did a tear. I feel like I did a terrible job. And I know you're already going to say give yourself more credit because obviously it worked. But in the beginning, I did such a bad job reporting symptoms because I was trying to figure it all out. Eventually, I got to the point where I'm like, I have to do less. All four of my family members that are doing, or three and plus me, that are doing homeopathy have a note in my phone, and I write the day that I dose. And if there is anything special about the response, I will write down like three or four words. Everybody, because everybody in my house is sensitive, has their little jar, mason jar with a plastic lid on top, and I write the date that I dose on top of the mason jar. And so I can look at that jar and I can get an idea of how frequently I'm dosing. And then I can look at my notes and I see like if there's anything unique. And then before appointments, I would have my list of symptoms we talked about, and I would look over them and I would like recall stories or whatever. But if I wrote those stories down in the middle of the month, I would crash my brain trying to figure it out. And so the doing less helped me do more.
It's funny to me. So Jody and I, we have similar brains. Surprise, surprise. I just was diagnosed with ADHD not that long ago. It explains a whole lot because I'm really bad at recognizing things for myself, right? Like I didn't think anybody had ADHD because I'd had all the same symptoms that they all had. Psh, no, dummy, you just have ADHD. So it's funny because you just as you were describing everything, I was thinking about all the TikTok videos and whatnot about ADHD and like the magic notebooks and like this is going to be the solution. This is going to be the solution and nothing can be stuck with. And like I have stacks of magic notebooks and like calendars and like planners and like this planner, this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to, or like it's ridiculous. And like so many different apps that I've downloaded for things like that. And I'm with you. The simple is better. And then if I've got like a word or two that can help jog the memory of the thing, then I can get back to it when I'm needing to actually report something. And I've worked with a lot of people who are more like you, Lori, that have like got this whole system and it's really complex and they've got like, they could send me graphs and like, I'm going to tell you right now. So multiple things have to happen with observing. You have to find what works for you and what works for your provider. Because if you are really good with lots of details and you want to send your provider like your spreadsheet of stuff, if Laura, if you sent me a spreadsheet,
You would cry.
yeah, I would just like I would try twice and then I would, yes, I would cry probably both times and then I would say, this isn't working. We got to figure out a different way, right? And so what generally works, as you also said, Laura, you've got like 30 minutes in your follow-ups. So if you are somebody who's a super, super detailed person and not a simple person, like Jody and I tend to be, it is helpful to like set aside time before to review so that you can be looking for those trends over time. Like if you're somebody who's noted that your kid didn't want to eat chicken on the fourth or thought that their butt was itchy on the ninth, and that's it, never happened again, we don't care. Like I hate to say it as harshly like that, but like we don't care. If something happens one time, it's not a trend. We don't need to hear it. We need to hear the trends over time. So if you see that their butt is itchy for like 5 days, yeah, we want to know. But if they had one day of an itchy butt, we don't want to know, right? Like if they really didn't want chicken one day, okay, that's fine. But if now they used to only want to eat chicken and now they hate chicken, that's what we want to know that, right? But so if it's a trend, tell us. So yeah, figure out what works for you and don't try to fit yourself into somebody else's box, because their box is not going to fit you, right? So If you're somebody who needs lots of data to be able to figure out the trends, that's great. If you're somebody who's like, hearts or poop emojis, and that's all you need on the day, and like that lets you can figure out, do I have more poops or hearts? Like, that's great. It's in that it's then sharing the stories, right? The stories about what you're able to do. Sorry, guys, a long day.
No, it's great. That's like the perfect poops or hearts. That's easy.
Oops. I might adjust mine right now. 5 years in, I'll adjust it. Sit. I've been spending way too much time. I will say this, it's so funny. Have the conversation with your provider because that will save you a lot of heartache because you are right. There's that beginning period where you're figuring out how to do it best for you. But yes, learning your provider's technique, like I'm a wordy person. We all know this. So Dr. P knows. Someday she's just got to cut me off and she's like, okay, just tell me, did this happen? Did this happen? No, don't, I don't tell me the story yet. I'll ask you when I want the story. I mean, and that still happens. So I think I take notes for me because sometimes, mom brain and all that good stuff. I also like to note on the bottom of my charts what was going on that day, like in a couple bullet points, meaning like, oh, we went to the dentist this day. That'll jog my memory. That's fine. This was the day. Because if she goes, well, how long ago was that? And I'll be like, well, it was around the time we went to the dentist. And then I'm sorting through and stuff. Anyways, yes, it all works different. But she has helped me pare it down a lot, a lot.
And the reality is, like, we also need to remember that when you're observing, that when you get into lots of details, you're dragging your homeopath down to look at the lichen on the trees when they need to be the eagle soaring above the forest to be able to see the bigger picture and be able to swoop down when they see the little symptom that is actually really important to them scurrying along, trying to like go unnoticed, and they can swoop down and catch it. But when you're giving like a daily rundown of all of the details, it's too much information, and they can't be pulled back in the way that they need to get the global totality picture. And so, making sure that you're observing works for you, and your note taking works for you to figure out the trends over time, and to recall specific examples of stories that you can share, because stories are better than hypotheticals, right? Like saying, speaking in general is like, when my kid gets angry, they do this, 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 and this, is not as useful as yesterday my kid got angry. This is what was happening, and this is what I saw happen, and this is how it resolved. The story gives us more concrete details about what's happening. So whatever system works for you, I personally prefer, as Jody was essentially alluding to, finding something that, for me anyway, because I will forget it. If I can't pull out my phone and note it in the minute, it's dead. It's gone. Like, it's not gonna get noted anywhere. If you're somebody who can remember and like sit down and like reflect at the end of the day and go through and like what happened, then that's great. It gets more complicated if you've got multiple kids. You both have multiple kids. Anything you want to share about that? And also, if you're getting homeopathy for yourself, also can complicate things a little bit, especially for me, since I don't notice anything about myself ever unless I'm like 10 out of 10 pain. I'm like, okay, that hurts.
I think for me, one thing that we figured out at some point is doing appointments on different days because we used to stack them up and try to do them together. And especially with my girls, like separating them was very, very helpful to me, just to kind of keep things situated and one conversation out of the other conversation.
That's so funny because guess who does it exactly opposite?
You.
There's no wrong or right here. I think that's the point. It's what
Exactly.
works.
Right. And so if like if you can't mentally observe for yourself and like reflect and notice the patterns over time, if you're doing it for multiple people, then getting things separated is good. If for you it works better, maybe if you're a wordy person like Lori has a tendency to be, maybe
Gotta
it's
get an
beneficial
hour.
to be all back to back because then you get the context for the to for everything at once, and there is overlap that needs to be shared, so you'll figure things out. All right, so basically the long and short of the story is that there's no perfect way to be an observer in the first place. It's just a matter of doing what works for you so that you can note if you are seeing what trends you're seeing over time. Because with homeopathy, we're always looking at changes in frequency, intensity, and duration of the symptoms, or any change in presentation of the symptoms, or new things that are cropping up. Okay. So, and whatever you need to do to be able to effectively get that type of information is good. Where people can start to get like really, really nitty-gritty is like getting into the specifics, right? So, like, let's say, so I have a migraine today. Had to take a medication earlier, so it's settling. But let's talk about my migraine, right? So, like, the way that I would observe my migraine is that I feel it in my cheeks, and I feel it more on the right side, and it's like a bursting type of pain. And I feel it in my shoulders as well. It makes my brain feel a little slow and sluggish. I'm feeling like my eyelids are a little droopy compared to normal. I'm a little tired. And it was brought on, I believe, because it is unseasonably warm as the time that we're recording here in California, and we're having some changes in pressure, and we had some pretty big winds this morning. So all of those are things like what makes it feel better, or what makes it feel worse. So it's worse when I'm stooping forward and then going to stand up. It's better with the lights down, and it's better in cold, that kind of thing, right? So we want that level of detail. And sometimes when we get to that level of detail, especially in the messy middle where symptoms are not as clear, we can get into fatigue. So let's shift into that space where we can talk about the granularity that sometimes we do need legitimately, and how moms in particular can start to feel about their ability to actually meet that level of granularity, or just like the overwhelm from it.
I'm just going to go ahead and throw myself under the bus because I know that there's a lot of people that need to hear this. My younger daughter is definitely a long healer. We've been at this for a very long time, and I have waves of observer fatigue. And it's like I just can't anymore. I feel so tired of watching all of these things, and I feel and it's not just that, it gets worse. I know that I need to give her a dose, and I'm so tired, I just can't. I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have dosed her like 2 or 3 days ago, and like I just can't right now. And then I'll get into that turns into, okay, like now I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like we came out of an acute illness, and I think she's still responding to her Remedy, but I don't, like I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I find myself in that space too frequently. We're doing better now, but and I know that all I have to do is reach out to my provider and get a quick, hey, like here's where we are, like instruct me or whatever it might be. But then I also sometimes I don't do that because I'm just tired. I'm really,
You're not ready for the questions that are going to come.
yeah, I don't know. It's in it, but I know that like I remember doing it with Avery, not quite like I do it with G, but I remember being towards the latter part of healing with her and being like, like I just like what am I doing? Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm impacting this. Like I'm the problem right now. Like I'm not dosing a kid that I know needs a dose. And I don't know if that's part of my ADD, but also I'm just like it just for some reason it's just an exhaustion. So now you know all the bad parts about me and my ability to do homeopathy for my children.
And you're like actively demonstrating what moms and dads will start to do in this place, which you're beating yourself up for something that, I mean, it's a legitimate thing, right? Like you, when you are, you want to be able to just stop, like, especially in the messy middle, you want it to be done. You want to just be able to like sit back and just enjoy life and not have to be in this place where you constantly have to be alert and watching. And I mean, for some people, depending on like what they've experienced, if they have trauma, watching your kids like that closely can be traumatizing, and like, or activating of the trauma too. And it's both fatiguing, and you don't want to just have to watch your child like a hawk, and then having to feeling the pressure like you have to sort through it and figure it all out. And that's the thing is you don't, but every single person still feels like they do, right? Like
That's a very big part of it, because I'm like, if I dose again, then I got to go back into figuring out when she needs another dose or watching the response. And yes, that's a big part of it. And you know me, I'm constantly trying to figure it out still, because I don't even know why, but I know
I
all
don't
I
know.
need to go
Solidarity,
through.
sister. I have experienced, I think you said it best, it comes in waves, still. And there's times where I just don't want to do it. And there's times where I just need to throw a fit or cry or something about it and tell Rob, I'm not doing it today. I'm just not doing it because I just don't want to do it. And we've had a lot of those things we've had to work through. For me, there's a lot of guilt involved
Yes.
and admitting to myself that I let it go. And then if I have to get back on track, then I have to see how far I got off track. And then that's like in my face. And yeah, then I start to have the thoughts, did I just extend this time and it's gone even longer? I don't actually believe that, but my not wise mind, my emotional mind is telling me those things, you know, which adds pressure, right? Like, I didn't do that again today. Because you get the kids in bed, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go to bed. It's been a long day. Oh man, I didn't do that again. I didn't. And I'm opposite you, Jody, in that you're saying you don't give a dose. I start rapid fire dosing without having notes to go by. And then I get in this super gray, fuzzy area. And I have to then tell Dr. P, I think I did it again because now did I aggravate, or maybe they really did need it and we need the next potency. Oh, yeah, I forgot they went to the dentist and that always throws. I mean, so it's like you have to do it, but you don't want to do it. I've settled on giving myself some permission, but then my agreement with myself is if I'm gonna take that time off, then I have to actually take it off. And I don't mean like fully disengage, but just not be so on top of it. And if I mess up, be okay with it. And then starting where I am. Because there was a time where I would be like, oh my God, I have to backfill 8 days. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like how? And I would sit there, and my husband does this all the time. If he falls off, and I've had to verbally say, honey, start where you are. Just start where you are. If there's anything that sticks out, write it down. But do not try and go every day and go like, I think this was a good day. I think this was a bad day. I mean, it's just that guilt thing though really gets me.
Yeah.
And the admitting, it's hard. It's really hard.
So what I'm hearing from both of you, it sounds to me like both of you are having your own symptoms that are being ignored that are contributing to your inability to do something that has been routine for you. And when you're not tending to your own symptoms, things blow up.
Well,
Very
this has been
accurate.
a really good therapy session. Checks in the
Well, so maybe that's the first thing that we maybe that's the first advice I'm going to give to both of you and to anybody who's listening, that when you start to get to that place of observer fatigue, maybe pause and ask yourself, what am I lacking? What do I need that I'm not getting right now? And I am a big fan, as you know, of letting go of control of as many things as I possibly can. And the reality is that, like, everything that happens to us, every emotion, everything we experience is a symptom, or it's information for something, right? Like every symptom we experience is information to us, either about the remedy that is going to be the most effective to help us restore like equilibrium, or about something in our life that needs attention that's not getting it, right? So maybe the first thing is for everybody to recognize that, like, Observer fatigue and burnout is probably part of a symptom, and there's something that probably needs attention that's not getting it. And the only way to really give it the attention that it needs and for you to like get through that is to not try and control stuff and not try and force yourself through something that's just currently not working, right? So for Joe, for people like Jody and me, it's probably not the wrong notebook necessarily. You probably don't need a new glittery shiny notebook that's got like a specific color or something, right? And for somebody like Lori, she probably doesn't need to just change to hearts and poops, but like maybe she on those days, maybe hearts and poops is enough, right? I think that generally, we work through our tough periods better when we accept the tough period and like fully relax into it. Like you said earlier, Lori, like if you're taking a break, actually take a break. And you probably need a shorter break if you actually take a break, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lori said something one time in the group. You responded to a post, and I was like, oh, this is so good. Like talking about, moving through those moments of fatigue and allowing yourself to take a break. And I'm like, how have I just never really like been like, okay, you can take a break and it's okay. Like breathe for 2 weeks. And there's always something that rejuvenates us on the other side of that. It's like always, like every time, like we've been doing homeopathy since 2017, and there is always something that rejuvenates me and allows me to like hop right back in and be like, all right, let's go. We're doing this.
Yeah.
I think if I could shorten the time from when the fatigue sets in to me giving myself that permission, that would be amazing because the dragging of the feet and the postponing of that whole cycle that I need to go through is really what elongates me not doing the thing that's driving this whole thing. The not taking notes or the ignoring it or whatever it may be. And so many times, it's so funny. My husband works at home, and so he'll be frustrated one day or whatever, and burning the candle. And I'm like, you're working at like 50% right now for the last 4 days. If you would just take that break, even though you feel like you don't have any time and everything's due right now, you would actually work more efficiently, And so it's maybe we need built in something. I
I
don't
think
know.
everybody right now, like I think both of you and everybody listening needs to pull out a piece of paper right now and write down, I have permission to take a break. Like have your own permission slip that's like there and readily accessible, where someplace where you see it every day. I don't know.
And Laura, you said you wish you could shorten the time between when the fatigue starts and when you actually realize it. I wish I could shorten the time between when the fatigue starts and when I ask for help, because I know that Billy will help me if I
Good one.
ask for help. And but the time it takes me is what gets us into the place where I'm like, I have no
The
idea
sticky
what's going
spot.
on. And all I would have had to do is ask for help. But again, that's me. That's my symptom.
It's your symptom, but it's also society. Like we can't. I also want to tell everybody to read the book Burnout by the Nagoski sisters, like Emily and Amelia Nagoski. It's something that like if I could just hand out like to I could just carry a pile and hand it to every person I pass, but especially women. I think it's a really useful book just about burnout in general and the way that the system is rigged against us and all of these things and like expectations and especially expectations of like mothers, that. It's just a useful thing. All I'm going to say is burnout is real. It's not just you. There are things that are built in societally that are have us conditioned to believe that we shouldn't ask for help. So let's not beat ourselves up about the fact that we're beating ourselves up about the fact that something is set up so that we're going to beat ourselves up. Okay. A thought occurred to me. This is a little bit of a tangent or a little bit of a jumping back, but one of the things that you mentioned, Lori, was that like you'll get to the end of the day and you're like, I don't want to do this. Maybe those are good times to like really look at yourself and When do you tend to be your best? Is the end of the day really the best time to do it? Even if it's like the next morning, are you really gonna have forgotten everything that happened the day before? Probably not. But if you are more of a morning person, it might be you might be more likely to be able to go and take a few notes. And even if they're not as perfect as they might have been, if you had it really fresh in your brain, you also might see it from a perspective of somebody who got a chance to sleep. Who is burnt out and has gotten a chance to sleep and might be able to see it maybe even a little bit more clearly than you are in the moment too. So finding like if the t it might be that the time of day that you're trying to do it is just you're exhausted and who's going to do this really challenging thing at a time when you're exhausted? You need to do it when you actually have your best stores available to you. Like, don't ask me to
Great point.
clean anything in my house anytime after like 2 o'clock at all. Like, it's not happening, you
Makes me wonder if that would give us some less emotional observing too.
know?
More
Waiting to.
objective.
That's kind of what I was getting at with like, you might see things a little bit more clearly the next day, because you're just writing down what happened instead of feeling. And if you're not writing it down in a moment where you are also feeling exhausted, that's potentially going to influence your reporting.
Which I think goes back to your original topic of granularity. You guys need to see it from a peer, right? Flying above the forest. And when you are in it as a parent, we want to talk to you about that, the worst symptom that's making me crazy. I need you to fix that one. And also, I need to tell you the story that happened the other day because I'm just sure that it's going to change your outlook and solve the world when you guys need to see it from up here. So I think that's a good point, is because you guys look up here, you're able to be objective. And when we're in it, we're not in that objective spot. And especially when I'm fatigued or feeling that, I am, blaming or seeing things with not rose-colored glasses, like gray-colored glasses that are painting everything in a really negative light, when really, it's me that needs a change or a respite or something. I seem to get frustrated too if I've fallen off the books. I call the books, right? I haven't written down my stuff. Like, I'm looking for the kids. Well, you didn't tell me that today. Why didn't you tell me that today? Like, why didn't you come to me, when the reality is they never do that? But I was, clearly. So that kind of happens in my house too.
So it's I'm coming to like think about the things that we can do when we're in those places. So first and foremost, I think it's important for everybody to recognize this happens to most people, right? Unless you were like ultra, ultra, ultra type A, and have your self-care 100% in check and all like no stressors in life, it's probably going to happen to you at some point that you're going to like forget, get distracted, just not want to do it, need a break from it, whatever. If you go an entire time, like if you from the time you see your provider to the next time you see your provider and you take not a single note, you're probably still going to be able to get enough information as you sit and talk and reflect to know what the next thing to do is. Okay.
I can
If you got
verify that.
I mean, even like for myself, like I don't have my kids not in like chronic if anything, so like she just gets acute remedies really. So I'm the only one I really have to track at this point, and I will get to the point where I'm like, I'm not writing down another thing about another effing headache. I'm not doing it. Like I'm just done. I will write that I had a headache and that's it. So I can at least count the number, you know, like I just and I do it on my watch. Like I boom, headache. And it's if I can tap it, I'm done. It's so if you have no notes, you will probably be able to figure out the details, right? Like even if I didn't mark how many headaches I had, did I how many headaches do you think I had? Like I can go back and I can figure out a rough estimate that's likely to be accurate, or, you know, or accurate enough to make a decision about what to do. So first and foremost, you're going to be okay. You don't have to cancel your visit. It's still useful. You've got more in your brain than you think you do. Even if you don't have really good notes, you've got more in your brain than you think you do. Promise. Second, if you are getting to the place where you just aren't sure about like how your observing is going, talk to your provider. Ask them for support. What do you need more from me? And you can tell them, like, I'm getting a little overwhelmed by this. I'm feeling a little bit lost. Share your feelings. I'm feeling burned out. I'm feeling like I'm failing. I'm feeling like I'm not doing this good enough, or like it's making me too anxious to do this all the time. What can we do? Your provider is going to have some ideas or ways that they can help you narrow what you're looking at, so you don't feel like you have to be like, the autobiographer for your child, or not autobiography, but the biographer for your child's life, right? Like, so that you can step back and just notice like the main things that your provider really needs to know. Obviously, the things that we already said, give yourself a respite, give yourself a break, ask yourself what it is that you need that's not being met, what unmet need you have, and then do what you can to get that need met. Ask for help, as Jody said. Probably people willing to help you more than you think if help is available. I realize not everybody has help. Go ahead, Jody.
Not just help from someone observing you, but I'm going to go backwards a little bit to the provider part of it. I have showed up to appointments before and told you that I did a bad job and I just need to go through symptoms. And I didn't do that a lot, but there were times where it got so bad where I'm like, I have nothing. Can we just go through the symptom list? And then everything kind of, and I mean, obviously it ended up working out. We're still healing, or we're completely healed. But there were times where you had to help me figure out what I knew.
Can I tell the story about the time when we had to have a chat about you accessing your charts?
God. Sure. Since we're just telling about all my things today, but yes, I'm an open book. You can tell anything.
Okay. So it's to this point, like the point is that sometimes the more you think you're being precise, the worse things actually are. And the less you're able to see the things that you need to see because you're so focused in on I have to track this and this and this and this and this. To the point that like for a little while, Jody was doing a little bit of a no-no and like going in to access her charts as like her record keeping so she could see what we talked about at the previous visit and compare. And then she would come with notes about that. And guess what she didn't tell me about? Anything else. And there was other stuff happening that I needed to know about, but she got so focused on the things that we talked about before and like giving me updates on those that she managed to not tell me the other things she needed to tell me. And so like, and I've seen it, I just that you're a really good example of that with that particular thing that when that was happening. But I've had other people who've asked me for the symptom list, or they write down the symptoms that we track and they only focus on that. And like I always ask about new symptoms, but there's so much focus on like how it was and is it better versus like just telling me what's been going on in your life. I always start with like, tell me how things have been since like what's happened in your life. Tell me what's going on since the last time we talked. How's school? What's going on with family? Anything new? How are you feeling overall? Any big victories? Any like what's, if they've got stuff that's going on, like how is racing season going? How is mountain biking going? How is horseback riding? Like all those things, because that's going to give me, like, I already know from just asking about how life is, what we're looking at when we start going through the symptoms. Right. Like I, and so the bigger picture is going to give you more information than the specifics. So sometimes you can really back off and do a lot better and like not get as overwhelmed.
But I would at that time,
You felt like that was going to help your overwhelm, didn't you?
I was so fatigued that I was like, I'm either going to show up with nothing or I'm going to look and I'll have an idea of something. And I was using it as a crutch. And that crutch slowed us down because remember when you told me to stop, like after
Got
that, the
better.
first couple of appointments after that, you were like, holy cow. Like that was a different experience. And it was because I had way better information because I was basing it on what we were experiencing. Even though I was still minimally observing, I was observing what was in front of me as opposed to.
You were trying to get an A on the test instead of just sharing your life with me.
I was cheating. Oh gosh.
Anyway, so talking to your provider is good to figure out what you need to, what is actually going to be really important to get granular on, if anything. And I would, and I do, I do a, I try anyway to do a good job of like, this thing is coming up. I need more information about this. It's okay that you don't have it today. I do need more. Or if sometimes if I'm like, I really think we need to change a remedy and I need more information for this. If you don't have it, get it to me, email it to me, and then I'll let you know. I need this, this, and this answered, you know? So you can even ask for that kind of thing. If you're like, I don't know, can I get back to you? Like, give me a day or two to look at it. You can do that. I am going to suggest that people, if you're in that place where you're just like so fatigued, but you do need to look at a specific thing, to go check out our Observer series. Just remember that it's there. They're short videos. It's me and Dr. Peterson's that we go through like 5 minutes or less for a specific symptom area or specific system. So if your provider says, I need to know more about the rash, go look at the video on skin. 5 minutes, it's going to give you some information for things that's useful to look for that can help make you not feel so overwhelmed. Like, I don't even know what I need to look for because I'm feeling so burned out and so fatigued from all of this.
Yeah. And I think too, if you're more of a person whose brain works like my brain, and the videos feel like a lot, we even have, and maybe we can attach them
Oh,
the
cheat sheet.
Observer cheat sheets where it's just written down. And I have done that with Gwen, where I go and just sit down and look at the cheat sheets. And it's just a super quick, like 10-minute jog of my brain, just to get me thinking outside of this little box that I'm sitting in, and it's been beneficial.
So those are things for anybody who's like, what are you talking about? Observer cheat sheets. Those are in our Facebook group. So if you join our Facebook group, you'll have access to them where it gives you like a really small list that you can look at. Like, here are things that are going to be helpful for this particular system. Like I said, if you're looking at skin stuff, find the skin one. If you're looking at, you know, head stuff like headaches, you'll find the stuff that's going to be useful there. What else would you guys recommend? Being parents who have been in that fatigue, observer fatigue place, what else would you recommend to people to help them through?
I also think that a lot like what we talked on last episode, this journey, there's so many things that are evolving and there's so many parallels, life lessons, and all that. And this is another one that your observing has to kind of change as you get to where you're going. It started out very specific and it's kind of been more of a loose framework now. And I think you just have to be flexible because I feel like there's been some learning curves along the way that I wasn't anticipating. And so I got frustrated when I was doing things and I thought I had it dialed in. And then, oh, here we go. Now I got to change the way I'm doing it again. So that was something for me. It's just anticipating, I think, that even something like your observing might have to change as symptoms change or as what phase you're in changes.
Yeah. I'm about to show my age. I'm going to say find a thing, like a thing to distract you, a thing that you enjoy. My thing was my plants out on my patio. And like the more I did my thing, the more I just felt better, probably because I was outside, I was getting a little bit of sun. But a thing, whether a thing be taking a walk or anything, like again, like I super sucked at self-care going through it. But as Avery got further along, I had a little bit more time to do a thing, and my thing was my plants and going outside and being in Dr. Barr, you would say meditate, like do like find a thing for yourself and rebalance, do something to try and rebalance yourself to just breathe for a minute and a lot in order to have the capacity to check back in. It's hard.
I think that's where we always end up on these talks is if you want to heal your kid, you have to heal you. You just have to. So like we're talking about how muddy things get with observing and how fatiguing and exhausting the process is. Well, why does it feel that way? And why does it feel mushy in my head? And you know, it's because I'm not regulated. So much of this always comes down to focusing inward. And I think so many parents have such a hard time when I say, stop looking at your kid for a minute, just Just kind of like put them in your pocket or put them over here. Change your focus inward, whether that's a day or whether it's a week or two, whatever that looks like for you, so that you can come back and do this really well. Because the truth of the matter is, the remedies are going to do their things in the background, and healing's going to take as long as it takes. So you looking away from them for that second isn't going to hurt your progress. I think that's the other thing to take from this, is that homeopathy is so forgiving that even when I fell off and I wasn't taking notes, or when I don't know, all the things that happen along the way, you guys can always get us back on track. So life's going to continue to happen. And just, I just think as a parent, just don't think that you're screwing it up so royally because I didn't do this. And there really is no perfect way to do it. Life is messy. And it's one of the things I just love about homeopathy. If you fall off, that's information. It's,
Well, and like sometimes those times that you like fall off and you take a break, it's a gift because you get an opportunity to see things in a different way than you were when you were rigid about your observing too. So yes, homeopathy is forgiving, and please be forgiving of yourself. And rather than looking at something as a failure, look at it as an opportunity to evaluate if you need something, evaluate if there's a change that needs to happen in how you're observing. Or if maybe you've just gotten tunnel vision and like you can actually see things a little bit more clearly. Maybe even recognizing, like, I can tell you for sure the times that I feel like the most overwhelmed and the most frustrated with stuff is when I'm trying to do too many things at one time. So like, I don't know why this jumped in my head, and I feel like somebody must need to hear it, but I just keep thinking, like Jody, you were saying, like you go out and like you have time with your plants, or like find a thing to do. And I was like, okay, I was thinking, like, what's my thing? And like I knit. Knitting is like calming and soothing for me. And I knit and I listen to an audiobook at the same time. And the reality is, like, it's not soothing if I'm trying to do that at a time when my child is also going to want my attention more. I am more likely to get angry and frustrated with all of this situation. Whereas if I just like take that off and I'm like set it down, I'm like, okay, what do you need, sweetheart? Or I like shift to a different thing. Like even like when I'm on a plane, I was thinking about being on the plane with her. Like I had to stop at one point. Well, at one point I did say, I need some time for myself. I want to do this. I matter too. I need you to not talk to me for a few minutes, so I can listen to my thing. So sometimes it's setting that boundary for yourself, and sometimes it's also like recognizing maybe you're trying to juggle too many things and like put a thing down, and find a time when it works better for you too, like what you were talking about earlier.
I feel like I keep going backwards in our conversation, but I keep going to the things that like asking for help. And I think for me, help looks like accountability. And one of the things that I have recently requested of my provider is to hold me accountable. Because if I am able to, because G is long, further along in her healing journey. If I'm able to stretch my appointments out further, I'm most likely going to get further off track. Or I'm going to, it's going to allow me to step back a little bit. But if I ask my provider to make sure that I am having regular follow-ups, whether it be every 4 weeks, every 6 weeks, whatever that needs to look like, and holding me to that. So even if I reschedule my appointment next time, can you please tell me, like, hey, remember we were going to stick to this, and just having like a tiny, and I think it's okay to ask for that type of help too, because for me, it's accountability and staying checked in.
Yeah.
So another thing to do.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on observer fatigue that you think is useful to share, your own personal experiences? Any other advice?
In line with asking for help, I think Jody and I have talked about this before, is if you have someone else in the house, another adult that is readily available and always around your children, spouse, whatever, even consider passing the observation to them for a little bit. Take the break. I say that because when I was at my worst, and deep in minutia land and not regulated myself, I couldn't objectively see things. So there was a time when Dr. P would say, "What did Rob say? What did Rob say about this?" Or she would actually ask him, well, I'd bring him in the room and she'd be like, "Okay, what are you seeing?" And his brain also works differently from me, but that's not on his plate. It's not his main thing. And so he has a much more objective view of you from up here where I'm like down in it. And so that has been really helpful over the course of our journey.
That is super helpful for your providers too. There have been plenty of times. So at Resilience Naturopathic, one of the great benefits of working with us is that you get like all of our brains on a tough, stuck case. And there have been many, many, many times on our weekly call where we're reviewing a tough case or a stuck case that we say, mom's having a hard time right now, and like mom will acknowledge that they're having a hard time, and the provider shares that. Is there someone else we can also get information from? Because it's the reality is, as we've said on our last episode, we've said it on this episode too, how you're doing impacts how you see things. And if you are struggling, you're not going to have be as good of an observer, a reporter, or whatever, for lots of reasons. So if you're struggling, like the reality is, like pushing through isn't gonna help you. It's not gonna achieve the goal that you want. Taking a break, you're gonna be better off, period. Whether it means no symptoms are tracked and you just have to go by the seat of your pants at your visit, or if you're handing it over to somebody else and trusting them, both things you're likely to be better off than if you try to tighten that control and force yourself through to do it.
Yeah, we just got done recording an episode with my husband, and I think this episode's going to air before that, so I might give a little bit of a spoiler here. But one of the things he talked about doing different, like if he had to do it all over again with the knowledge he has now, what would he do differently? And I thought it was great. He was talking about like teamwork and communication, and I love it whenever I'm ever like talking to a mom or whatnot, and she's talking about how her and her husband like do it together and they bounce off. And I would imagine, because Billy's brain is so different than mine, had it been both of us working together and looking at things, because he sees things very differently than I see them. And I get stuck in this box of what we've always talked about and what it's always been like. And having his observation throughout the whole thing likely would have been very beneficial. Now, that wasn't just his fault. That was my fault too, because I wanted to control it and do all the things. And it's like I got it all figured out. But boy, wouldn't that be lovely to have that, those perspectives, and come together and figure out what it really is.
If you are mostly on the same page, it's not
True.
that useful if you are in conflict with the person about what's happening. If you're still in a place, as many parents are early on, that one parent thinks it's a disciplinary issue and one parent understands it's an inflammation issue, you're not going to get as useful information from somebody who sees it as a discipline thing.
Yeah.
Because that's also somebody who's putting their perspective on it, right?
Right. It wouldn't have worked out with before homeopathy Billy.
Yeah.
After homeopathy Billy, it would have worked out really well.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother episode Lori and I could rattle on about forever.
Touche.
All right. So to wrap up, observer fatigue is real, and we understand, and you're not doing anything wrong. Doubling down is probably not going to serve you. You've got this more than you think you do. We've given you a few tips for ways that you might be able to break up the observer fatigue, or things that you can access for helping support when you're in fatigue, but you have something that you really need to get some granular details on. Really, I think we just need to end on you got this. You really do. You're not doing it wrong. You are not a bad observer. You are a tired observer. And stories are good. Stories can go a real long way. And you're probably hyper focusing on getting all of the details that we don't even actually need to get the remedy for you. So you can probably loosen the grips a little bit and still be really effective. So
And it's going to pass. It always passes. Like there's, I know it doesn't feel like there's more in you, but there is.
yeah.
And every single time you will reach down and you will find more, and that fatigue will go away, and you will just find yourself rejuvenating and back at it again. It always passes.
There's no test. You're not going to get an A plus for being the most meticulous observer in the world. You're not going to get an F for failing to observe. You're going to be given gifts for the opportunities that you get on the times that you do take breaks. And observing meticulously or perfectly, quote unquote perfectly, which there is no such thing as perfect in anything, definitely not an observation. It's not going to make your kid heal faster. Like that's probably, we probably need to just end there. It's not going to speed things up if you're perfect. It's not going to slow things down if you take a break. Your kid's going to heal as they're going to heal. And there are ways to find the information that you need if you don't have it in the moment of the visit. It's all workable.
And I have to end on it. If you're doing homeopathy yourself, report observer fatigue. I have never, ever reported observer fatigue to my provider. Ever. It never even dawned on me to do it. Report it.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
homeopathy will
the
help with
observer
that too.
fatigue itself, I do. Okay. Since we're going to end there, observer fatigue itself is not a symptom that's going to help us find a remedy. We're going to need to know what you're experiencing in observer fatigue, right? So, like, everybody's going to experience it differently. You know, Jody might get sad and cry, and Lori might get anxious, and I might get angry. Or, you know, I might feel like really heavy in my whole body and like I can't do anything. I might have decision paralysis. And Lori might feel really restless and antsy, like she can't, you know, she can't stop moving. So you're going to have to observe your observer fatigue if you're reporting it, because observer fatigue itself alone is not a symptom. It's the things around it that are a symptom. But yes, it is part of what's happening with you, and it does deserve attention. All right.
Amen.
Shall we end there?
Yes.
All
Love
right.
it. Goodbye.
Thank you, ladies, for all of your feedback on both the last episode on the messy middle and on this with observer fatigue. Such important things to help people see it through to the end. So I really am grateful for your thoughts and your time, because I mean, we're in this together, right? To make PANS and PANDAS the thing of the past and homeopathy the medicine of the future. And we can't do either of those things if we don't help people get through the hard, sticky parts all the way to the end where they're fully recovered. So thank you both for your time. And Lori, I got to tell you, I'm super excited because I get to talk to your husband for our next couple of episodes. So we're gonna have like a whole month of the beans, basically. Like truly, like you guys are most of April is like the bean family. So
I hope we don't disappoint. I'm
well,
excited. I like
you
to see
never
him and
do.
compare him from his previous
Yes.
videos. It's really cool.
Yes. All right, so I hope you guys will check that out. It's going to be really great because so Lori's husband Rob is going to share both his perspectives as a dad of PANS, PANDAS kiddos, and somebody who is using homeopathy for himself for autism, which he got a late in life diagnosis. So there's my spoiler alerts, but they're really he's. So I've talked to him about these things before. It's a great conversation, lots of really great insights. You won't want to miss these episodes, so hopefully you'll check them out. All right, take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.